You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Jim Trotter joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. First things first, Jim, I haven't seen you in a while. I miss your face. I love your guts. You know that. And I'm thrilled to have you on the show. Happy holidays to you and your family. And of course, your fantastic dog.
Thank you, Anita. How are you? I miss you as well.
I'm doing all right. I mean, I always preface by saying all things considered, .. I'm doing okay. I'm excited for 2021. That's for sure.
I'm with you on that. I'm eager to be able to get out again, to be able to see people like you, and to just have face to face conversations again. It's been too long. I think last time we talked, I've been on basically lockdown since March 18th. So I'm eager to sort of move beyond that. And the funny thing is, you know, you realize during this time, I can only speak for me personally, how much of the little things you miss, you know, just the actual face-to-face conversations, the ability to go sit in a theater and watch a movie, or in New York, go and see a play on Broadway, all those little things that you kind of, at least me personally, took for granted. Man, I realize how important they are to me. So eager to move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, Jim Trotter joining us here at 98.7 ESPN. All right, Jim, two big topics I want to dive into with you. First and foremost is the NFC East. And I follow you on Twitter. And I know that that is a division that you're going to be focusing in on this week. I also want to talk about the coaching carousel that we dive into each and every year. And obviously, the biggest storyline, as always, is minority hiring. And I know that that is a topic that is very near and dear and passionate to you for a number of reasons. So, and obviously, there's a lot of expectation that the Jets will be hiring a new head coach soon as well. So, but let's start with the NFC East and what the situation is. You know, I was on with Bram Weinstein yesterday on his show in the Washington area, and I hung up the interview with him, and I said, listen, I am rooting for you. Ron Rivera battling cancer this year. I hope that he wins Coach of the Year. Alex Smith, if you watch Stefania Bell's piece on all that he had to endure and come out and even take one snap under center, Jim, let alone win comeback player of the year. And if this team can make it to the playoffs, I mean, I think whether you're a fan of Washington or not, that's neither here nor there. Like, just if you're a fan of like the human race, okay, and you want to root for good guys, how could you not be rooting for Washington? I text Stefania Bell today. I said, what's, you know, because she has her finger on the pulse of Alex Smith better than most because of the piece and her connection with him and his family. And she said, this is pretty interesting, Jim. She said, a lot of his repair, because this calf injury is on the same leg that he injured, and a lot of the repair came from the calf muscle. So he's not even operating with a normal calf muscle on that leg. And so I want to be as optimistic as I can, especially with the release of Dwayne Haskins. But I really truly believe that this Washington win or loss against the Eagles is really going to be dictated on whether or not Alex Smith can play or not. I'm curious to get your thoughts.
I'm not sure that I would go quite that far. I think obviously if Alex can play, the odds of Washington winning that game increase significantly. But the one thing now, when they turned to Taylor Heinicke late in the fourth quarter there last week, he has a relationship with Scott Turner. You know, he had been with him down in Carolina. He has an understanding of the offense, so it's not like he had to come in and learn a new system and whatnot. And as a matter of fact, this morning I was talking to an XFL coach who had scouted him and was familiar with him and considered trying to sign him. And the one thing he said is that in a short pinch, he thinks he can be a capable backup and come in and start this one game. But it means that Washington's defense, which had been playing pretty well up until last week, will have to step up and really put the load on their shoulders. So I'm saying that to say I don't write off Washington even if Alex can't play in this game. I think they can survive one game with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback if they can get the running game going and not put him in those obvious danger situations, third and longs, those sorts of things. But you're right about the storylines for Washington. When you think about everything that's gone on with that franchise this year, Ron Rivera coming in, him having to deal with cancer, having a brother who lost his life to cancer, the fear that he had and having to tell his mother that he had actually been diagnosed with cancer. Alex Smith's situation, as you say, Stephania Bell's piece was just one of the more incredible pieces I've seen all year. I sat there riveted by it and still couldn't believe that Alex Smith was trying to make a comeback. And then you talk about all the things internally with that franchise that have gone on, from the ownership situation with the sexual assault and harassment allegations, all those sorts of things, the hiring of the first black club president in league history. It's just, it would be an incredible year if Washington were to pull this off. And let me say this too, if Washington were to pull it off, or whoever pulls it off in the NFC East, the one thing we know is that you can't write them off come the playoffs, because the last few teams that have had 500 or sub 500 records going into the playoffs have actually won their opener. The most recent being Carolina, who was 7-8-1, I believe, a few years back, and ended up winning its opener. So I say all that to say, Anita, it's going to be interesting.
Oh, that's for sure. And so, by the way, the Washington Eagles game is now the premier evening primetime game. It will be played at 8:20 p.m. on NBC. And a few people are not happy.
Can I interrupt for?
Yeah, no,
sure. Can I interrupt for 1 second, Anita?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's the premier game. I think it's one of the few games that could have playoff implications at that point. So they're putting it there. Because to call two sub-500 teams the premier game, as you know.
well, what I mean by that is
stretching the boundaries of credulity. No, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. You know, so as we know, 1 o'clock, the Giants and Dallas are going to be playing each other. Whoever wins that game is going to be rooting for the Eagles. Because if the Eagles win, whoever wins that game gets in. So it's really, really going to be interesting. Before we dive into that Dallas Giants game, I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the Eagles. You know, I become a fan of Jalen Hurts. I'm really, really thrilled for him and excited to see what he's been able to do with this offense. I was very disappointed. Listen, Dallas's defense has been horrific all year long. I really thought that he was just going to dominate that game. I really thought the Eagles were going to win last week. Obviously, it's not what happened. So now, you know, unfortunately, they have been eliminated. You know, what type of chances are you giving this Eagles team? Really not playing for much. But we're seeing teams like Carolina not playing for much that went out and beat Washington last week. So, you know, your thoughts on the Eagles?
Yeah, number one, Jalen Hurts is the story. Obviously, we can say they don't have much to play for, if anything to play for. But what he's playing for is 2021 and being the front runner for that starting job. And I think that everything he's done at this point since taking over as the starter has moved him into a position where he should be considered the front runner for that starting job. And I know the money they've invested in Carson Wentz and whatnot, but look, it's a production-oriented business. And as one former GM said to me the other day, essentially game knows games. And these players know which of these quarterbacks has game right now, and that's Jalen Hurts. So I don't think that it's going to be a walkover for Washington. I think Philadelphia will give Washington all that it can handle. But having said that, I just think that Washington is more complete at this point, if you will, than the Eagles. And that's why I still say and believe that Washington will win that game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do believe Washington. And I do hope that Alex Smith does play. But of course, the majority of people listening to this radio show right now and listening to us are going to be obviously rooting for the Eagles, especially if the Giants do come out and beat Dallas. Now, listen, the Giants defense, much different than the Eagles defense, right? Like Dallas, very surprising to me last week by them winning. you know, your thoughts and Daniel Jones, a shell of himself the past 2 weeks. And the biggest stat that stands out to me is, you know, his lack of rushing. Two games now, he's only rushed once for 3 yards. This past week, six sacks and negative 37 yards. Obviously, that's not the Daniel Jones who runs 22 miles an hour. So, you know, he's right. So he's a shell of himself right now, which is hampering, not helping this offense. But really, the straw that stirs this drink is their defense and Blake Martinez and whatnot. So your thoughts on the Giants-Dallas matchup. How do you think this game is going to be played out?
Oh, I think Dallas wins this game. Look, right now, out of the four NFC East teams, you could make the argument, and this is not going out on a limb, that Dallas is playing the best football in that division. All of a sudden, its defense has come around. A team that at one point this year had given up 34 or more in five straight games and looked historically like one of the worst defenses in league annals has now forced 10 turnovers over the last 3 weeks. And that means that there is not as much pressure, obviously, on Andy Dalton and that offense and whatnot. And to see Zeke get off last week, that was huge for them. So there is a bit of momentum. You want to be playing your best football at the end of the year. Dallas is doing that. The question is it enough? Did they wait too long? And my guess is, yes, the Cowboys waited too long. But at this point, in terms of the four teams in the division, I would make the argument that Dallas is playing the best football of any of those four.
You know, side note here, before we start talking about the coaches, and I know we only have you for a short period of time left, but I'll tell you what, the last few weeks, Andy Dalton, he's making a big case for himself in free agency, Jim. Really, really, really impressed with that little red rocket over there. Boy, he's been...
You're not expecting me to bite hard on that one, are you, Anita? Because I don't see it. I think, in my opinion, Andy Dalton is the quintessential backup who can come in and start for a period of time if your starter has an injury. But if you're putting your fortunes in him for a full season, I'm not liking your fortunes.
I disagree with you. I think if there's a team out there that's got a great offensive line, good running backs, solid wide receiving core, and a top 10 defense, you know, Andy Dalton. I'm not saying that Andy Dalton's a quarterback.
Here's the thing.
Let me ask you this. Perfect scenario. Would you rather have Andy Dalton or Phillip Rivers? Would you rather have if you're looking at the Colts? In the Colts, let's say they make it to the postseason, the way that Phillip Rivers throws the football like a shot put gives me agita. So that's the point I made. If I know there are very few and far between teams out there, but like that's a team that I actually think would do better with Andy Dalton than Phillip Rivers. Again, just my two cents.
If there's going to be another quarterback in Indy next year, I'm going to put my money on Carson Wentz. How's that?
Listen, Hey, listen, I'm with you. Reconnect with Frank, right? For sure. I could totally see that. And I have not given up on Carson Wentz. I said it yesterday. I think Carson Wentz, something has gone foul in Philly, and dude needs to go. He needs to get out of there, and I have no doubt that he'll go somewhere else and be extremely serviceable for another team. No doubt.
Let me throw something at you. You think Doug Peterson's back next year in Philly?
Well, he says he is.
I'm not asking what he says. I'm asking if you think he'll be back next year.
I think the way that this team has responded to Jalen Hurts, I think the way that Jalen Hurts has showed what he can do, proven what he can do the past 2 weeks. I could understand where there is a coach that is so committed to a player. Hence, let's go way back, and I know I'm dating myself here, when Drew Brees was kicked out of San Diego for Phillip Rivers. And what happened? Was it Marty Schottenheimer, right? And he was just like, Drew's my guy. You're going to go with Rivers. I'm leaving. Like, I can totally see where a coach... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you know I was covering that team at that time. So I'm intimately aware of what happened there.
So is that not like I was what was communicated to me was that coach wanted Drew, ownership wanted Rivers, and that's where the falling out happened. Is that not the case?
Partially. Marty did want Drew. Marty has always liked veteran quarterbacks, so he wanted to stay with Drew. The GM, A.J. Smith, remember, is the one who made the draft day trade for Philip Rivers and had been known to say out loud on the team plane that Philip Rivers was his guy. So it was only a matter of time before Philip got in there. But the reason Marty is not or was let go in San Diego was because they refused to give him a multi-year extension and basically had him playing on one-year contracts. He didn't like it, and he forced ownership's hand knowingly and got himself fired so that he could get his money rather than doing something that would be conduct detrimental. Remember, Cam Cameron and Wade Phillips left, the coordinators of that 14-2 team. Marty wanted to bring in his brother as defensive coordinator. Ownership told him that it did not like having family members on the same staff, and Marty pressed the issue and ended up being fired. So he knew what he was doing. But it wasn't about the quarterback situation. It was more about Marty's contract or why he's not there, for why he wasn't there.
Thank you for clearing that up. But back to Doug. This is what I believe happened. I don't think Doug was thrilled with going to Jalen Hurts, and from what I understand, a lot of it had to do with ownership and GM and Howie. But based, I think, on what we've seen from Jalen Hurts the past few weeks, how could you not be excited as a head coach to come back and want to work with that and want to work for a team that is energized and excited about Jalen Hurts as their quarterback? It's just, it's a different feel on that ball club right now. So
there's no question about that.
Right?
I agree. Yes, I agree. But as you know, all I'm saying to you is when Monday rolls around or next week rolls around, I think there are going to be some changes that some will be surprised by.
Interesting. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, before we let you go, and I did want to spend, maybe we'll have you come back another time and really dive into, as we get closer, of course, to the coaches search. But let's focus first on the Jets. Everyone here is anticipating, regardless if the Jets go 3-0 in their last final games, a lot of people are expecting Adam Gase to be gone. What are you hearing? Is there a chance, is there a shot that the Jets would bring in a minority head coach? And name some of the minority head coaches out there that you feel will get in not that Rooney Rule, you know, come in for an interview, but like, what are some of the minority head coaches out there that you feel, Jim, are going to get a legit shot to come in and be a head coach?
Well, Anita, as you know, you and I have talked about it. It's such a serious topic. I don't want to short shrift it. But I'll say this to you. You know, the one thing people always ask about are names, and I have said this to you before, and I've said it to others. I think that is the wrong way to approach it, because anyone can throw out names. There are so many more things that are important when it comes to a coaching search, and I think owners would be smart to finally accept that. And part of that is fit, and part of that is what is the vision that an owner has for his team? What are the qualities that he is looking for in a head coach? Does he want someone with previous experience, someone who's fresh, someone older, someone younger, someone on offense, defense, or special teams, or does it not matter? Someone who's hands-on or someone who's a delegator? All these sorts of things, these questions, in my opinion, an owner has to answer before he ever even gets around or he or she gets around to saying, who do we want to interview for this job or who do we want to hire? And unfortunately, I think owners don't do that. They simply say, who are the hot names, and go that way. Look, there are a number of minority candidates who I think should be interviewed and who are quality head coaching candidates. Obviously, Eric Bieniemy is one. Robert Saleh is another. I would make the argument that in terms of new guys, fresh guys, Pep Hamilton and the work that he's done with quarterbacks everywhere he's been, whether it was in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck or in Los Angeles with Justin Herbert now, he's a guy that I would want to talk to as well. And then you can start looking at guys who've had previous head coaching experience. Jim Caldwell should be a head coach in this league. Every place he's been, they've been successful, and the teams that have come behind him have not been. So I could continue down that list for you. but we would be here all day. But there are going to be guys who get interviewed, the Marvin Lewis's of the world, who have previous head coaching experience. There's talk that Todd Bowles will get another interview with someone. But in terms of new guys, fresh guys, you can even go down the college level. Go back and try and talk to David Shaw, who NFL coaches have great respect for. You can talk about Tony Elliott at Clemson, who turned down a chance to interview for the Carolina job last year. On the NFL level, you know, they talk about wanting offensive-minded young coaches. Byron Leftwich is one in Tampa this year. So, again, there are a lot of names, but the question becomes who's the right fit for your organization and who's the right fit for the vision you have for your team. And if owners can't answer that first, everything else is just window dressing, and it means they're going to be looking for another head coach within 2 to 3 years.
Jim Trotter joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Always a treat. Wealth of information. Enjoy the NFC East games this week. It will be interesting. Sounds like we're both rooting for Washington for a number of reasons off the football field. And again, happy holidays, happy new year, and can't wait to see you again in person, Jim. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Anita. Thanks for having me.
God bless.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.